So long before this pandemic unleashed her fury, one of my routines on Sunday mornings was to get to the church about a quarter of 6 a.m. when it was really quiet and no one was there. And I'd start working on editing and proofing and practicing my sermon for Sunday. And not long after, Vicki would show up and usually wanted, and she would ask me, "How are you doing?" And one of two answers usually emerged. I would either say, "It's coming, we're good," or, "Vicki, I don't know, I'm struggling and it's just not coming together. I don't know what I'm gonna do." And without fail, Vicki would tell me, "You know, we've heard it all before. Just get up there and tell us that Jesus loves us and then sit down." And I'd consider it for a good while. I mean, no one has ever complained about a short sermon being too short, but the rule following overachiever in me would decide that I would need more. Well, I can say that after 6 years, Vicki is right. Short and sweet is best. So here you go. Friends, Jesus loves you. That's the heart of our scripture reading this morning. Love, love, love. It's an action. It's a sacrifice. And we can't love others until we can first accept that we are people who have been unconditionally loved and made from the essence and source of love itself, God. And God loves us not because God has to or God should, but because God created us because God wants to be with us. God can't keep God's eyes off of us. When we embrace that, when we accept that our essence and our being and our purpose and our worth is rooted in this love and not anything we do or don't do or achieve or don't achieve or have or don't have, we can then freely love others without fear that someone might get more than what we've got or someone will get ahead. If we just love out of our efforts, or our sense of goodness because, you know, we're better than that person down the street, we're only drawing on an empty man-made well of effort and pride. So that's it. You are loved, love others. And yet, the pandemic is killing hundreds of thousands of people. Racial animosity is being exposed and seeping through every crack and crevice in our foundation. Political distrust and disgust are reaching new lows every single day. And instead of learning to write their names on lined paper, kindergartners are learning how to mute and unmute themselves on Zoom. And let's not forget the exhaustion and loneliness and financial uncertainty rocking all of us. As a friend recently confessed as we were discussing this week's letter to the Romans, sometimes it doesn't feel like love really is enough. I couldn't agree more. Now, maybe your faith and trust in God's love never wavers. Maybe you never get wearied by the storms of life. Maybe you never want to call someone who cut you off on the road everything but a child of God. Maybe this pandemic living hasn't affected you one single bit. And maybe you're so confident in God's delight and in your purpose that you never question or wonder about putting others first without complaining or moaning or judging if it's worth it. If that's you, carry on. But for the rest of us normal people, I want to take us back to a slightly warm and humid Thursday afternoon in Jerusalem. I want to walk us through what love did and what love didn't do. I want you to be bathed in this story of love and let it seep into your pores, because maybe if only for this week you can receive and embrace and claim this love like you've never claimed anything else, you'll see that love really does win. So let's go back to a place in Jerusalem. There was a young man of about 33 years of age. He gathered together his friends near the marketplace at the corner of Main and Capitol Street. And he said, I want you to meet me sundown for dinner in our friend's upper room. The room was probably no bigger than this living room. And according to our buddy Luke, this man gathered all his friends and they ate and they laughed. They told stories and jokes of having been together for 3 years and all the craziness they had experienced. And suddenly the room got quiet. There was something heavy in the air. And this man, this love, tore off a piece of challah bread that had been sitting in the middle of the table. It was just an ordinary piece of bread. But that's the thing about love. It can take ordinary and make it extraordinary. So holding up the challah bread, love told his friends, this body, it represents my body. This bread represents my body. I'm going to be leaving soon, but I want you to eat this in remembrance of me. Remember what I did. Remember who I am. Remember, therefore, who you are because of what I've done. So they ate the bread, a little confused, but knowing that there was some weight into his words. And then he took the wine that had been in the middle of the table, and said, I want you to drink out of this cup, the same cup. Well, this cup represents my blood. And I want you to drink all out of the same cup because it shows the unity that we are one. It's a new covenant. This blood, this bread, this wine. And it's unlike any other covenant. It will have the power to trample even death. And so they drank from it. Now, this man knew that there would be someone there who would betray him. But he still said, you can eat too, because that's what love does. It extends itself beyond what's comfortable and easy. And love did it for them. Love did it for you. All those who were gathered around love that night didn't quite understand what was happening. They had seen the healings, they had heard the teaching, they had enjoyed the meals, but they really didn't understand that everything that had come up to that night was all pointing to this night and what was to follow. Now, they could have asked for him to explain more, but instead they simply said yes to love. Because saying yes to love doesn't mean that you have the answers or that you're sure all the time. It means trusting one step at a time and going. And so they did that onto the next day, which we now call Good Friday. But it was actually a horrendous Friday, but love has a way to bring beauty out of ashes. Now, much of the transcript of that day has been lost, but what we do know is this. Love was found guilty. According to the prosecutors, love disturbed the peace, fomented insurrection, and rebelled against the empire. Love protested peacefully, but he protested. Love didn't challenge the accusations. He basically said, if questioning the status quo of fairness and competition and ruthless power and pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality is my crime, then I'm guilty, love said. The truth is, love simply wanted more for the world than to let it stay the way it was. So it gave freely of himself, sacrificially. Do what you will to me, love said. I won't stop receiving you. And so you know how it goes. The wood, the nails, the thunder, the darkness, the vinegar, the tears, the wailing, the blood, and the final gasps of breath until there was no more air left. And Jesus couldn't breathe. Love died that day. And everyone wondered, what's next? We can't go back to what was, they said. It's so hard to endure now. What do we do? So they breathed and they cried and they prayed and they leaned on one another, not knowing what was to come, if anything was to come, not expecting anything to come, to be frank. But they did it anyway. They carried on. And as they did so, love showed up scarred and wounded, the past a part of his present and their future. This love showed up to friends who had given up, friends who were at their wits' end, friends who were certain that the last 3 years of their life had been a waste of time, friends who were afraid to go on, friends who could not show their faces in public because of the humiliation and risk of danger, friends who wondered what was the point of it all. Love went around to those friends and said, "Promise made is a promise kept. I'm here." And so those friends clothed themselves in this love. It sustained and transformed and uplifted them. And having been embraced in love and then extending that embrace to others, they knew and the world knew this love was enough. Now here we are 2,020 years later, give or take a few, in our tiny rooms, apart yet together, longing to be fed by something greater than ourselves, longing to understand what we can't understand, longing for peace in a divided world, longing for healing and justice in a broken world, wondering if it's enough. And perhaps we who sit in the hell of this year don't know it, can't imagine it, can't believe anything good will come. Like those friends, we can't go back to what was. It's hard to endure now. What can we expect next? But as it was then, so it is now. Love is not finished. The promise made is a promise kept. Love did not do this to save you from damnation or hellfire, but to save you from the lies and the hurt and the failure and the sin and anything that might get you in between the source of creation and love and you forever. Love did it to redefine power, to uproot death's power, and to give us what we need to embrace others as God embraces us and them, to help bring our Creator's dream into its full glory. As you can see from those Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays all those years ago, love isn't a feeling. It's not a Hallmark card. It's not a Lifetime movie. It's a sacrifice. It's a letting go of control. It's a letting go of what we thought how the world should be. It's letting go of power and might and right and falling into humility and cost and tears and sweat and brokenness being made whole. It's actions. It's choosing not what's comfortable for us, but what's best for the least among us. It's resisting the impulse for popularity and ease over and against truth and justice and power. As Paul wrote to the Romans in the midst of their own struggles and despairs, their own version of the year 2020, love is not only enough, it's the last word. So, short story made long. Vicky was right all along. All I need to say, all any of us could ever say, is this. Jesus loves you. Those crucial 4 days prove it. Will you say yes to this love? If you do, if you wear this love as though it were the finest piece of clothing that will ever be sewn and worn, if you let it cover and lead and sustain and uphold and define you, if you let the drama of what happened in Jerusalem be your anchor, your guide, your purpose, your essence, and not simply an idea or a story, but everything, your very breath, you will finally get the last word. That is you and the God of all creation together. Now I dare you to find a purpose greater than that. Amen.